Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of the Book Wars Pod. I'm Kristen, actually physically here with Kate and Chris to do our wrap-up of Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad, which has been a book. What are you guys drinking? Even though I can see what you're drinking.
Yay! We prepped so long for that intro.
I know,
you have great. No idea the amount of effort that went in just for which has been a book.
Sure has been. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Woo! This is weird. I like need to send you into the other room. Like this, it's just weird to be in the same room as you.
I know. I can literally yell at Chris about not talking into the microphone now, which is great.
That's true, and I'm still not gonna.
I know.
Fine. So it's always a good time.
I'm drinking a Firestone Mocha Merlin coffee stout. Which is delicious, from Firestone Walker Brewing Company from...
California.
Is it from California?
Yep.
Oh, there's a fucking bear on it. Yeah, it is, in fact, from my state. My state's great, y'all.
Oh, my God.
Firestone Walker is great. I've been to their brewery, and it is wonderful.
Well,
it's in
Paso Robles.
Yes. I was going to say it's in Lala, so...
Cool. Awesome.
Me and Kate are both drinking Yingling.
Because we're classy as fuck.
Because I don't get to have it otherwise, and I love it.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating.
All sure right. Do. Well, this is like what I grew up, quote, drinking. Grew up drinking. I've been an alcoholic since I was seven.
Since you were born.
Since you were a wee babe. Just pop that shit in your baby bottle.
Some of us had warm milk to get to sleep. Kristen had an ice cold Yingling.
Okay. So we're here, and only after, you know, the usual 25 minutes of shit not working correctly, I think we're going to get into talking about our wrapping up of the book. So.
We sure are, Kristen. We sure are. No, but this is our last episode on Inferno Squad. And one thing that I put on the outline, which Kristen is now seeing for the first time.
Yep.
Is that I want to talk a little bit about Aiden versus Eli. Eli, obviously being Eli Vanto from Thrawn, which we read a few weeks ago. Episodes, well, I don't know.
Some episodes.
Hang on, I got this.
He does.
Episode... Sorry, I anticipated 10. This being 10 through 14. I anticipated that being a lot quicker than it ended up being.
I had something for this.
You all went on this journey with me. It's fine. Anyway, we see Aiden as being a lot different from Eli and Thrawn, and which is interesting because they're both obviously Imperial officers. They're both on an upward trajectory. But I just kind of wanted to compare and contrast because I feel like we have this view in the movies of the Empire being very monolithic and very, like, people all being the same, which is, like, particularly in the original trilogy, very much something that is, like, intentional, and we don't see the Empire as individuals, we just see it as the Empire.
Or old white guys.
Or old white guys.
Middle-aged to old white guys. Who gets strangled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All get strangled.
Mm.
But yeah. Kate hasn't talked at all yet, so I'm throwing this to her.
That's horrible. Wow, okay. So I think one of, just based on the major differences between Aiden and Eli, is that they come from very different backgrounds, still obviously in the Empire, but Eli grows up as a bit of a country bumpkin out in wild space. His family is not necessarily impoverished or anything. You know, they seem to be doing fine because they run a shipping company. But he's just trying to get out of wild space, comes from a significantly more humble background than Aiden does. Aiden's family is basically, it's not actual Imperial royalty, but they're high up. They've been high up in the Empire, by nature of her parents are. You know, her dad is in the ISB, which is, if you want to be anything in the Empire, you probably want to be ISB because you're just secret spy police and you probably know everything.
Yeah, that's how you know when they're coming after you.
Exactly. And then, of course, as we've talked about in previous episodes, her mom is a propaganda artist, which is very essential. So she was just steeped in that kind of culture and in that kind of, the kind of the military hierarchy she eventually officially enters into since she was a kid. Eli just flew ships and tracked shipments and yeah, that's all he did and that's all he thought he was ever going to do. So
and from what we know, that's also what his parents did, right? They're also in shipping. And my favorite question, how old, we don't know the answer to this, but I'm just thinking about how old, Vanto's, parents are when she's born and kind of what their ranks might be. But, I'm thinking that if her mom is like a noted propaganda artist, even from
you
her.
You mean Aiden.
Thank you.
You said Eli.
No, I said Versio, I thought.
Nope.
Did I say Eli?
You said Vanto.
Oh, I did say Vanto. Oh, that's really hard. They're the same letter. Anyway, but yeah, so her parents, it seems like they're not only, so when Kate says, you know, they're not technically royalty, I think they're kind of as close as they can come without being moffs.
I think that's right. I mean, and for just to give us all a reminder, the reason they're so big in the Empire is because Admiral Versio was, I think, the governor of Vardos when it first, like, when Order 66 happened and the Empire was created, and he was kind of the person who brought Vardos into the Empire, which obviously has been very good for them. And so that was good for him. It was good for Vardos. They're a very popular family, and that kind of gave him and Aiden's mother a leg up in the Empire. And so I feel like age-wise, they definitely were, like, obviously, like, full adults who, like, obviously, if, like, he was governor, like, at the time, then he was, like, you know, reasonably old person.
Nepotism.
Yay!
So, yeah, I mean, I think that those are all good points. I mean, we talked a little bit about how Eli is just, like, pretty chilled, not really doing anything more than he thinks he wants to do. And Aiden is like, I'm a useless piece of garbage, because that's what her parents taught her. So there's always that, even though she's, you know, of great military rank, as well as, you know, being highly successful and taking responsibility for her squadron, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, my favorite... talk over each other even though we're all in the same room. My favorite thing about Eli is that he just wants to be a supply officer, and he gets assigned to be Thrawn's assistant, which, I mean, is not very high ranking or anything, but he's just like, God damn it, I just wanted to be on a supply ship, like, running manifests and stuff. And I'm like, seriously, dude, this is your, like, life ambition, is to just look at cargo lists? I just don't... It's wild.
No, I feel like that's exactly the word, is ambition. Like, because Aiden, like, we look at her and she's very ambitious. She wants to be the leader. She wants to be the lead on Inferno Squad. She wants to live up to her father's perhaps unrealistic expectations of her. And then Eli, on the other hand, he really doesn't have that ambition. Like, he is kind of going into the Empire... sorry, I'm being distracted because we have a friend of the pod at Real Baby Bird here with us, lurking in the background. She's going to take a picture of us and put it up on our Insta. So y'all will have seen that by the time you listen to this, but now you know the story behind it and who's taking the picture.
Also, it's just great because she's trying not to giggle the whole time we're recording this, because she knows what hot trash it always is when
yep.
we do this.
Accurate. So, how hot trash we are, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Eli, you don't have that ambition. Like, he joined Imperial Service basically just because it was a thing to do. He didn't want to completely follow in his parents' footsteps. He wanted to do something that was enough on his own to, you know, go out and explore the galaxy, but not really go out past his comfort zone. It makes him really uncomfortable in the first, you know, half or so of the Thrawn novel that he isn't following that path in being a supply officer. And so that kind of, like, lack of desire to rise in the Empire, I feel like, is kind of what helps his conscience stay stronger.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's, like, necessarily lack of desire to rise, because I think he would be fucking jazzed if they were like, you're a Grand Admiral who does shipping stuff, whatever, supply, etc. Like, I don't think that that's not something that he necessarily wants to shoot for. I just think that he's not, like, ambitious in the very, like, climb the ladder, like, dog-eat-dog kind of way that so many other folks in the Empire are that we see.
Yeah, not in the win at all costs mentality that we see from Inferno Squadron.
Isn't baseball on?
Baseball's not on right now. No.
It's 4 o'clock.
No, it's 7:30.
Sorry.
Thanks for your concern. I appreciate it.
I'm like, we're in the middle of a podcast. I'm like I have such bad ADD that I'm just like, isn't baseball on right now? Anyway, Chris is a Dodgers fan. Vamos los Dodgers.
There you go.
Or something. I don't know Spanish. I'm sorry about that.
I mean, Dodgers is a made-up word, so.
It's so true.
Yikes.
So, let's go to our next favorite question. What did this story being a book and not, you know, screen media or any other of our favorite media add to the story, and sort of how does that interact with the fact that we know that it's a semi-precursor slash some overlap to the video game that is coming out?
Yeah, and I...
When is the video game coming out?
Video game comes out in early November. I want to say November 10th.
Yes.
Somewhere around there.
But cool. Online, the online is available now, which is getting some mixed reviews, but whatever.
No, the online... the gameplay is getting good reviews. It's the structure of...
Yeah.
It's...
Okay.
Well... That's beyond our scope. however, so as some of our older listeners will know, this is kind of a topic that we dive into usually a little later in the wrap-up episode and don't really talk about that much. I wanted to have a more extended discussion about it in this one. Because, and this is, I want to be careful how I phrase this, but I was not actually, I came out of this book wanting a lot more. I felt like, for me personally, there were definitely some things that I wanted to know more about Aiden and about Inferno Squad and about the world in general. And I felt like there was some world building that, we usually get in these Star Wars novels, which is like one of the strengths of doing something in novel form that we didn't really get as much of here. And so I kind of want to look at this usual question of what did the form of a novel add to this, but also kind of look at it within the lens of this was also written to be planned as something that comes before the larger moneymaker, which is the Battlefront 2 video game, and kind of the challenges inherent there and how it affected Inferno Squad and how it will affect Battlefront 2 moving forward and what we expect from it.
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, the book, for those of you who don't know, only came out this past July, but of course that's a 4-month gap between the release of the book and the video game, and like all Lucasfilm related projects, they've been keeping a pretty tight wrap on what the details of the storyline in Battlefront. So I think part of it is just, I think a lot of people are really afraid to step on Lucasfilm's toes when it comes to the vague possibility of giving out spoilers, because Lucasfilm is very much about clamping down on that sort of thing. And so it could be that extra caution that the author, Christy Golden, felt like she had to keep in mind kind of held her back a little bit from revealing as much as she could. Because it wasn't like she didn't have access to the game or anything. She, you know, she spent a lot of time, I know, talking to Janina Gavankar, who plays Aiden in the game, and she had a lot of access to her. And I assume she had access to the script and the other actors, so there's not really any reason why this book shouldn't have given you more, Chris, except for that Lucasfilm is a little cray-cray.
Yeah, and we, you know, that said, we don't know what, if anything, was cut, right? So it could have been a much, you know, as we all know, the editing process is complicated, and you can sometimes lose a lot of content. And detail for that matter, right? So if Lucasfilm had a bigger hand in editing, then we probably think that they would, especially because this is such a sensitive topic, just because they're relying so heavily on the video. Well, I mean, like, the hype around the video game is much more than it was around the book, right? So I think it's more, you know, they think at least it's more in their interest to keep spoilers out of the book for that and, you know, really, really actually leave people wanting more in a way that, you know, I don't know. The way that I wanted more out of this book, I don't think my answers are going to come in the video game, which is why I'm also a little bit frustrated with Chris. I mean, we talked about specifically the like statue robot crystals.
Oh, the Guardians.
Yeah, the Guardians. Thanks, guys. We talked about that, and like, I don't think that's something we're going to get more of in Battlefront, and that's kind of what I wanted to know more about, and it was, I thought that was like a, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but I thought that was kind of a strange way to bring them in and not have more of an actual kind of kicker, for lack of a better word, you know. There was no real payoff there. We were just kind of like left to understand them as we would. And I don't necessarily think that's going to come. I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope they're all over the video game, and I hope I get so much more about what their deal is. But I mean,
final
I think
boss, the Guardians.
Yeah, final
baller.
That it'd be baller. There's like no way that actually happens, but that's fine.
See, I'm over here like, I want them to help you. I want them to be on your team.
they would totally not be on the Empire's team.
Absolutely not. Anyway, so, but I think that's basically like what my takeaway was. I don't know whether or not Lucasfilm did this on purpose is kind of the big question that comes out of it for me.
I think, just to backtrack a little bit, your point about the editing process is a really important one, because I'm the kind of nerd who will literally read a book cover to cover, and that includes like all the end papers and things like that. So if you go to the back of the paperback, so it's only a hardcover edition, but in the acknowledgments, Christy Golden almost, I don't know if she intended to do this or if this is what it actually means, but she thanks her editor and says that the draft she turned in basically is very different from the book that came out. And of course she says it's the better book for it, but you have kind of have to wonder how much slash and hack the editor had to do. Like, as a person who like as whose day job is to be an editor, I will go through articles and just like take out entire sections of things and paragraphs and just, you know, gut a thing just to, you know, make it more suitable for the publication that I work for.
Just because she's really mean. It's not because of the publication. It's because she's really mean.
Yeah, I'm a terrible person. You all know that. But no, but I think that's a really great point.
Yeah, and
what you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like one other aspect of this is that the audience of this book is kind of a unique challenge for Lucasfilm and for Christy Golden and for EA, because, I mean, you look at normal Star Wars books, and obviously any book you write is supposed to be able to stand on its own, but if somebody's reading a Star Wars book, there's a really good chance they've seen the movies, or at least have a passing familiarity with the movies. And so you have that built-in world going for you. And, you know, we see books like Thrawn or like Bloodline that draw really heavily from the existing universe that's built by the screen, and we understand that, right? Like, we go in with that understanding that that's something that we're supposed to know, and that the author can write and say, like, all right, if I make a reference to the Death Star, that's something that the audience is going to get. And I feel like this being Inferno Squad, is really difficult because we obviously all have that background of it being a Star Wars book, and so we've seen the movies, but it needs to tie into a video game that hasn't yet come out, and so it needs to have references that we are not going to understand right now, and we don't know the point of them. As well as, sorry, I see Kate trying to get her point in. I'm almost done. As well as Keeks directs me to the mic, we also need references from, we have references that are going to apply to the video game, but we also need to make sure that this doesn't reveal any information that's going to be critical for the video game, because EA doesn't want to limit their audience to just people who read Inferno Squad. So it's a very weird web of it needs to be intertwined while still standing on its own in a way that I don't think other Star Wars novels necessarily need to contend with.
I also think an interesting part of it is that, you know, most people, they'll go to the theater and they'll watch a movie. For the animated cartoon portions of the canon, it's easy enough to turn on the TV and, you know, sit down for half an hour and watch a TV show. But video games kind of are marketed toward, and this is sort of starting to change, and I wish it would a little faster, but it's marketed toward more of a certain audience, you know. There are a lot of stereotypes surrounding who plays video games and, you know, who gets to play video games and all of that, and of course the dialogue around that is changing very slowly, as I said, but there are a lot of people who are just not going to pick up this video game, you know, and that's kind of interesting to me. The comics are a little bit the same way too, because again, there's comic book culture is so steeped in, you know, this is for boys, sort of, that sort of thing, I'll just say it.
Or for comic nerds, even, right?
Right, who are boys.
Boys,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're talking about the stereotype rather than, you know, like,
necessary what? Reality.
Yeah, yes. Like, the stereotype is young white men, or middle-aged, young to middle-aged white men, I'll say.
Sure, but it's a stereotype that people have in mind, and therefore they feel like they are locked out of these
Absolutely.
Venues. So that's the only point I wanted to make.
Yeah.
No, totally. And I think another aspect that makes this difficult is that this is coming out before the video game. More people are going to play the video game than they are going to read this book. Like, that's just the nature of the medium. The video game is going to sell probably millions of copies because that's just what a big video game does. And Star Wars is promoting this very, or Lucasfilm, excuse me, is promoting this very heavily. Whereas books, I mean, and Kate, you know the actual numbers better than I do, but this book is not going to sell millions of copies. Or, you know the industry better than I do.
Oh, yeah, no, confused. That's, yes, yes, that's right.
Like, true. This book is not going to sell millions of copies. It's, like, and that's nothing wrong with it. It's just, that's not what books do, and that's certainly not what Star Wars books do, and that's okay. That's right. All we expect from them.
Right, to just give you guys an idea of scale, if you're, I mean, Chrissy Golden's not a debut author, but, you know, there are books that only sell a few hundred copies and don't even quite crack into the thousands, and that's considered a successful run for a book.
Yeah, exactly. And this was, if I remember correctly, did make it onto the New York Times bestseller list its first couple weeks. So I'd say this book definitely sold in the thousands, but I mean, the Battlefront 2 is going to eclipse that on its first day, and that's just the way it is. And so I feel like that's definitely a challenge for Christy Golden and for Lucasfilm to try and do that direct tie-in in a way that they've never done before. So, it's funny that we're having this discussion coming off of a couple episodes ago. We were like, we don't review books. We just talk about how they impact the universe. But the reason I wanted to talk about this and the reason that we put this in the outline is because now I do want to talk about how it impacts the universe and how we see the overall overarching part of the story. I mean, because we also want to like talk about what we're looking for in Battlefront 2 and its story mode now. Because also, and I want to make this really clear because there's been a lot of shit happening on Twitter that's been not okay about this book. I don't think any of us thought this book was bad. Like, none of us is saying this book was bad. It's saying that we, individually, were looking for more from it. If you got a lot from this book, that's fantastic for you. If you are a person who sees Aiden as representation that's never existed, you're exactly right. And that's... Kate's shutting me up.
No, I just wanted to say, our problem isn't with the characterization. We're not one of those people who's writing on Twitter and shitting on people because they think that Aiden is quote-unquote a bad representation for people of color or anything like that. Our problem is solely with the writing and the information that we're given. Like, we thought the characters were great. The overall, like, overarching plot was awesome, and it's something we've never seen in the current Star Wars canon before. And we're really, really excited to play the video game. I think all three of us are going to play it. But, no.
We want more. Like,
right.
That's all it is. That's our, you know, if you
want
to call it criticism, that's our biggest criticism.
Yep. I want more Aiden.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know more about Aiden. So, like, kind of going into what I'm looking for as I am excited to play Battlefront 2, I felt like Aiden as a character was... I want to know more about her relationship with her father in ways that seem less simple. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but, like, it seemed... Something just didn't quite click for me, and maybe that's me personally, and, like... Maybe, and if our listeners, like, totally disagree with that, then I really want to hear that. But for me personally, I just felt like I wasn't fully seeing all of Aiden's motivation. And I want to know more about it. And I want to know more about how her character is going to develop, because I didn't really see that development and growth in the book.
Right. What I most, just to your point a little bit, what I most want to see out of the video game is Aiden has, towards the end of the book, kind of takes her first steps out of the shadow of her father's thinking and his ideology. And I want to see her spread her wings a little more. Because this video game, as we know, it spans, what, like 20, 30 years? Her dad's not going to be around forever. Like, what does she do without him?
A long time in the Star Wars universe.
A very long time.
Yeah, and before we kind of, I mean, I was trying to get this point in, but I am right here, and I should have just raised my hand. But because you guys are big talkers. But I wanted to kind of contrast the point that, like, the video game is definitely, like, the pre-sale for the video game have probably already outsold the book.
Accurate.
Like, honestly. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm somebody who's coming from the book side. I wouldn't be playing the video game if not for reading the book. But that's just kind of, like, my side of it. I'm not somebody who would have gotten, honestly, because I'm doing this podcast, I will probably get the video game, and I may definitely not have gotten the video game otherwise. Like, I'm very happy just, like, playing Crash Bandicoot and Grand Theft Auto, and that's really, like, the extent of, like, what I have the PlayStation for, plus, like, all of the sports games that no one else I know plays.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, it's totally, it scratches the same itch for me, right? But it's this totally, like, different crossover for me that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And I know that we're a much smaller, you know, sect of folks who are crossing over because they read the book and then want to play the video game. But I think I think the point's the same, right? The Venn diagram, the intersection of the Venn diagram is small. I think that's just kind of the point. So,
yeah, totally. It's just it's interesting because, and obviously this is Battlefront 2, both the video game and the book, and there was a book tie-in to the first Battlefront game, which was Battlefront Twilight Company was the name of the book. And we'll read that, but since Battlefront, the video game, the first one didn't have a story mode. It had a few, like, single-player missions, but it didn't have a cohesive story mode. It didn't really deal with this struggle, and the book was able to create its own characters and really just be Battlefront in name only, about, like, the concept being about kind of the grunts, the ground troopers in the Rebellion. And so it's interesting. So this is, like, a very new medium, at least within the world of, you know, the new cohesive Lucasfilm story group. And so it's interesting to see what, you know, like, I kind of want us to, you know, we talk about how we're going to go back to Thrawn and we're going to go back to A New Dawn once the new season of Rebels starts. I kind of would love for us to, once we play the video game, to come back to this and say, like, how do we view this differently? Like, do we understand why certain things couldn't be broached, or why it felt like certain things were missing. Because I really do feel like that's a very interesting aspect of this, that we just don't have the full story yet.
Right, exactly. Keeks, what do you want to see out of the video game?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I kind of, like, jumped the gun a little bit by saying, like, I want more of the Guardians, but, you know, I also want fucking space pirates out of the video game, and we're not going to get that either, and that has nothing to do with the book, except for it does.
You want playable Hondo?
Space pirates. I want playable Hondo. I want Hondo Sims mode so I can make him my husband.
Okay. That got weird.
That
got really weird.
That was a bunch of information. Anyway, moving right along, guys.
Right. I personally am really interested to see how.
Oh my god!
At Real Baby Bird coming in clutch with the second beer. One thing I really want to see from the game is I'm really interested to see how they're going to handle the aspect of it being from the Empire's point of view, because one really interesting kind of moral topic that some people in Star Wars have talked about, and there are ways to frame this argument that are more effective than others, I think, but kind of the general idea of doing something from the Empire's point of view, and, you know, not just Iden being good or bad representation, but, like, I feel like it's a long-running debate within the fandom of, like, should we idolize the Empire and should we be as interested by the Empire? I personally am very interested by the Empire and think that they are really interesting characters. But it'll be really interesting because I was thinking as we were watching, we were actually watching Revenge of the Sith today, and during the Order 66 Invasion of the Jedi Temple scene, I was really interested because I was remembering to the old, thank you. I was remembering to the old Battlefront 2 game back on PlayStation 2, God, like 10 years ago or something, maybe more.
We're old.
But in that game, you also played as first as clone troopers, and then you played through Order 66 in the Jedi Temple. And then, like, as clone troopers, or as you became stormtroopers, still the 501st, still Vader's Fist. And the story mode ended on Hoth, and if you won, you captured the Millennium Falcon, and that was the end of the rebellion.
Me and Kate are, like, having a stroke right now because, I don't know, I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No!
I can't believe you had to play through Order 66. That's the most fucked up thing I've ever heard.
I would have killed myself. Like, oh my god.
Well, I would have been like, I lose the game.
Well, it's because it's so interesting, right? Because you are, like, having these really conflicted feelings of who you're rooting for. Because, like, in the Jedi Temple, you're literally, like, you're fighting the Jedi. Like, that is what you're doing. And it's that's always fascinated me how they do that, because they obviously in this story, it was, you know, not a story mode that affected the Star Wars universe, because that's not how it was written. And so it didn't matter that the game ended with the Empire winning on Hoth. Like, it just didn't matter. But this, because the story mode is very much folded into the Lucasfilm story group and the overall universe, they're going to need to find ways for us to root for the Empire as the playable character, or root for what becomes the First Order, without obviously creating a scenario where the Resistance can't flourish, or where the Empire wins too much. And so I'm going to be really interested to see how they handle that from the player's point of view of being the Empire, rooting for the Empire, but also leaving enough room for the Rebellion obviously to win and the Resistance to flourish.
Right, I mean, that's the same kind of tricky balance that we saw in the Thrawn novel, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, we always have to be reminded that, oh, this is the protagonist of the game, but they are not the heroes, so...
It'll be very interesting to see how that's going to be done. Or if the story is just going to lean into being from the Imperial perspective and just do it as their heroes, which I don't... This again, is a larger debate that we don't need to get into. I personally don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a really interesting story perspective, but it'll just be very interesting to see where we go.
I mean, we could get into it, and I could scream for 20 minutes like I did about the people who hate A New Dawn, but
that's
I can go on and on and on and on.
That's true. I feel like that territory has been covered very well by the ConjiCast, though.
Yes. So, by the way, if you haven't heard our plug for the ConjiCast, which is the new podcast about Star Wars from an Asian perspective from Tashi Station, go listen. They just did their first episode, and it's not very long, and it's just great.
Lots it's important.
Yes.
Also, now that I've heard how fucked up Battlefront, the first Battlefront video game was, now what I want out of Battlefront 2 is to know how fucked up it's going to be, and like how and how dark they're going to be. Is it rated T for teen?
Oh, God, I don't remember. I'm sure it was.
Okay.
I believe it is, yes.
Okay. It was great. It was like... I was in, like, middle school, high
school. No, I mean, like, is the new one rated T for teen?
Oh, yes. Okay. The new one is. Okay. Sorry, I thought you meant the old one.
No, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't rated M for mature, because I'm like, how much slavery is in this? Like, what fucked up shit are they going to even get into that we
It'll be interesting.
That we actually got into in the book, right? Where it's like, are they going to touch on that? Or do you have to be, like, some kind of, like, slave transporter? What kind of fucked up shit are they going to put in this video game? I hope not. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm no, just saying. You're totally right, though, because, I mean, we know that it starts, the story mode starts on Endor, where you're killing rebels. Like, you are coming in and helping the Empire defeat the rebel insurgency on the Endor moon. And so it's fascinating to see what that'll be. No, the original Battlefront 2, it's funny, because it's not the original Battlefront, it's the original Battlefront 2, for whatever reason.
Okay.
But it was great, because there was, like, there was a Jedi, there was like a dark side versus light side heroes mode, and so you could just all play as like Jedi and Sith, and it was fantastic, and it was just like the most like stupid fun, and it just like always played the Cantina theme in the background, and so it was the most annoying thing in the world. What a great game. Good times. Kate, what are you looking forward to in the game?
I literally already said that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you go already?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're skipping. Let's go.
All right. So are we on the last thoughts already?
That's why she pointedly asked me. In, like, a guilty mom way.
God, Kristen. Kristen is clearly the one at fault here. All right, cool. So, moving on to our actual last thoughts on the book. Do we view A New Hope differently after reading this book?
I think, for me, it does just kind of reinforce that human element of the Death Star was gigantic, and that's why it was so destructive, but also, that's why it also had a whole fuckload of people on board. Like, it's not... as it was in the Clone Wars, where all of the military staff were just a bunch of droids and were more or less expendable. No, these were real people. They had, you know, they had families and kids and all that other shit, and it did reinforce that for me. You know, Iden thinks about her friends, the friends that she made on board, and then they all got blown up, and yeah.
Is it just me, or is it weird that Aiden's dad was not on the Death Star?
Oh, I don't necessarily think so. Because, I mean, if he has a desk job on Coruscant, then, like, that's...
Fair enough. I just figured everybody wanted to be on the Death Star.
I mean, he could have wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know how much... How many ISB offer... Yeah, sure. Right. If it's probably run by the Navy, then...
Well, we know Yularen was on the Death Star.
That's true, that motherfucker.
Colonel Mustache.
Also, just, like, the number of people who didn't survive. I mean, obviously the opposite of what Kate is talking about. I'm like, who else, like, survived? I feel like all of their stories are interesting, and I want to know all about them. Obviously, we know Vader survived, right? I hate it when people are like, but wasn't Darth Vader all the Death Star? I'm like, did you watch the movie? No? Okay. You know, he was in a TIE fighter. He was in his special TIE fighter. Does his special TIE fighter have shields?
I'm gonna say yes.
We don't know, right? Maybe.
I don't know that it's ever made clear. I'm kind of basing my knowledge off of the TIE Advanced figurine in the X-Wing miniatures game.
Yeah, I won't play it. I won't do it. Okay, cool. Thanks for always answering my mundane questions that don't matter.
You're so welcome, Kristen.
Didn't he die in this? Do people who ask these questions have eyes to watch a movie? You know, I mean, sometimes you don't, which, like, no offense. Like, sometimes you don't. But I'm assuming these people do.
But did Yoda know that Anakin killed the same people?
Oh my god, don't start! We got into a Twitter fight last night, or Chris got into a Twitter fight last night. We're not talking about it. Anyway.
It's interesting, because I don't know that I view... I do view A New Hope a little differently, because I do, like, the Battle of Yavin definitely has that human element that it didn't before, because we do get the individual view of the Empire. But for me, I'm... In terms of viewing the universe differently, I'm kind of, again, looking forward to Battlefront 2, the video game, for that. Because I feel like that is going to make me view the universe differently, because we know, you know, just from trailers, that Aiden encounters Luke, and we know that Aiden ends up being part of the First Order, and we know that she ends up being a large part of all these major events that happen. And so I feel like, by extension, I'm going to look back at this and, like, see the genesis of Inferno Squad, and that is going to mean more to me as, a formative event within the Star Wars universe that will affect how I view the movies in the future. So I feel like we will happily revisit this, and we've talked about doing either a full episode or maybe just, like, a special mini episode on Battlefront 2, so that'll happen at some point after the game comes out. Probably not anytime soon, because we want to give people time to play through it, but...
Yeah, also, I play video games super fucking slowly, so...
It's because she finds something that she likes, and then she just does that thing over and over again instead of doing the story mode.
Well, I mean, it's not open world, is it?
My understanding is it's not open world. Okay, so I'm actually really interested to know how long the story mode's going to be, and if they're making it a major part, or if they're just kind of putting it in to put it in.
See, open world will make me spend literally 500 hours on a game. I'm playing Witcher 3 right now, and I just keep trying to, like, pick plants and stuff. It's bad. Anyway...
Yeah. Cool. So moving on to some of our favorite Easter eggs. Do you want to go first? Kristen, there was no Hondo.
I don't have any Easter eggs. There were pirates, though. So, like, I was actually into that. But we did touch on that during the, what were your favorite Easter eggs from chapters 1-9? Pirates.
The hot Pentoran pirate.
Yeah, hot pirates. Blue hot lady pirates were my favorite.
Current sexuality, blue hot lady pirates.
Yes. Nailed it.
Chris, you can go. I'm just too busy facepalming.
I had a couple. One is in early in the book, when they're, like, celebrating the start of Inferno Squad, they drink Tanare wine, which, of course, is a throwback to Bloodline by Claudia Gray. Tanare is, like, the finest wine from Alderaan, which obviously became a lot more rare after Alderaan was blown up.
And it's blue!
And it's blue, which is a weird color for wine, but I love it. The second is one thing I did really enjoy about this book is that there was kind of foreshadowing of who the... So we talked about how the mentor is Lux Bonteri from Alderaan. I really enjoyed the foreshadowing of who the mentor is, because if you have read... If you're familiar with the universe, and in particular have read Rebel Rising by Beth Revis, there are breadcrumbs of who the mentor is as early as, like, when Aiden first gets to the Dreamers, because he talks about how his goddaughter knew Saw, and that obviously is a reference to Maya from Rebel Rising, who is one of Saw's partisans. And so I enjoy those little things where it's like, everyone's going to know the secret, but, like, since you're committed to the universe and, like, read all the other books, you get to know a little bit earlier. It's an exclusive feel.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't get it, even though I know the things.
It's fine. You read, and then it just, like, it's like...
It's amazing that they let me do this podcast, is what Kate's saying.
We just hate editing the audio. it's funny because it's true. All right. my favorite one was that I was reading this book and I had a really dirt moment where I was like, why are they called the Dreamers? That's such a weird name. And I was like, oh, it's a callback to Rogue One where Jin's running out of Saw's hideout on Jedha because Jedha City's about to get exploded by the Death Star and he tells her save the rebellion.
It was a mining accident, okay?
Okay! But yeah. Save the rebellion, save the dream. The Dreamers are trying to do that. And then they all die. Yay.
They did not save the dream. The dream was saved. They did not save the dream.
Damn, okay. Okay, so moving right along. Obviously, we are now done with Inferno Squad. And we are moving on to a new book. And hey, Miranda, you want to tell them what you're reading right now?
Yeah, no, you have to say it. I see you. Yell.
No, you have to come over here. So, Miranda's been
special guest appearance from @RealBabyBird, friend of the pod.
Who we've only mentioned every single podcast since we started it.
So she's been hanging around the background, getting started on reading our next book, which is...
Ahsoka by E.K. Johnston.
That is correct. So next time we will be reading through the first half of the book, which is through chapter 15, not including the interlude that comes after chapter 15. But yeah, we'll be discussing that, and, I'll probably be doing a little bit of screaming, because this book is, I didn't know this when I first started reading it, because this is the first Star Wars book I read before Chris roped me into doing the pod, and I wasn't, terribly involved in Star Wars social media, but apparently this book is very controversial among the fandom, and especially among Ahsoka fans, rather interestingly, so I am excited to talk about that, and by talk, I mean rant.
I'm excited for another fight between Kate and the idiots on the internet who are wrong.
Kate's always right, and the idiots on the internet are always wrong.
Thanks, Kiki.
So that is our show. A little quick for a wrap-up episode, but a good one, I think. I hope. Or everybody will unsubscribe, and the podcast will crash and burn. It'll be fine, one way or another.
I mean, if it crashes and burns, we're still going to fucking do it anyway.
Obviously. So
you can't stop us.
So anyway, hit us up on Twitter, @BookWarsPod, on Instagram, on Tumblr, again, @BookWarsPod, bookwarspod@gmail.com if you want to email us. We really do want to hear from you, particularly on this one, because this is a little bit, not controversial, but, like, this book elicits a lot of opinions, and Aiden, as a character, elicits a lot of opinions, and we want to hear from you.
Those opinions are mostly wrong, but whatever.
Depends on who you are.
That's true. There, one specific subset of people, your opinions are probably wrong.
I wonder what demographic they are.
It's white people. Anyway, rate, review, subscribe.
I hate white people.
Oh, my God. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher. It really does help people discover the show and learn more about Star Wars. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and our artwork are by Joe Butera Design. As Kate said, we're reading Ahsoka next week through chapter 15. For Kate and Kristen, I'm Chris. And Kristen, it's been a pleasure having you in person.
Thanks, Dad.
In case anyone's wondering, Kristen gives really good hugs. I was like very impressed with the quality of hug that I got from Kristen yesterday.
It was really good.
You guys are the best.
Also, Hamlet loves her, so you know she's actually a good person.
That's true. Official hamster of the Book Wars pod, Hamlet loves Kristen.
Yes. He likes white women. I'm not that special.
Oh, come on.
This small sample size, this is 100% true. Anyway, that is our show. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week as we start reading Ahsoka, and we're just going to cut this train wreck off now. That was great.
That was
so good.
God, this one's gonna be so easy to edit.
Chris, don't say anything.
Knock on sawdust.